Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Star Apostolic Southern Turning Congregation on the town of the 12th Star, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 11, 2017. Art is the 20th day of Ab 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled Of the Pearly White City.
It's a holy and beautiful city, whose built and ruler is known. From stars descending from heaven, when past possessed are he shone. His highest is warrant of jasper. The city is a picture of gold. The monuments and hills hold it. Now I saw its glory behold. In that bright city, glory bright city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting, and longing for the white city that's all coming down. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing defiling nor mean.
Come sin in the
never is the first city at night. In that bright city, everyone is city. I'm a champion and a crown. Now I'm watching, waiting and longing for our city that's all coming down.
Part 60 is the 47 River. We're on page 7 of our little track, number 17 of B.T. Hall, entitled The Mighty River of Ezekiel, 47:1-12. We're on page 7. It says Ezekiel 47, verse 1. After he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward for the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under on the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. As the waters come from the south side of the altar, then go toward the east, it shows clearly that they proceed from the north, symbolically denoting that whatever the meaning of the waters, they come from the throne of Yahweh, for his throne is on the sides of the north. Isaiah 14:13, Psalms 48:2, and 75:6. While the Ezekiel's attention is turned unto the interior where he first sees the waters, he continues, verses 2 to 12. Then brought me he out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the outer gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side, and when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were unto the ankle, and again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were unto the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, for the waters were unto the loins. Afterwards he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that should not be passed over. Okay, so that goes along with that song I wrote, Going to Take a Swim in the River of Laws. The river is wide and the water is deep. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return unto the brink of the river. When I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea. All being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live, whether the river cometh, and it shall come to pass, that the fishes shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Egriam. It shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according unto their kinds, as the fish of the great sea exceeding many, but the marred places thereof And the marshes thereof shall not be healed, they shall be given unto salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according unto his month, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit there shall be for the meat, and the leaf there for the medicine. Carefully note that when the Ezekiel first sees the waters by the side of the altar, they are but as a trickle for the flow he subsequently sees outside the gate. As the tiny rivulet immediately swells into a river, it represents something of a very rapid growth, as waters are scripturally figurative of the peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, Revelation 17:15. These waters of the mighty river are human waters, multitudes of the people, which declared the angel unto Ezekiel, being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. Plainly therefore, these waters represent a very great multitude which no man could number, that shall be healed, saved from sin and disease. And the time of the loud cry to the ministry of the house of the David, the purified kingdom congregation, the congregation triumphant, initially comprised 144,000, first fruits of the harvest. As Ezekiel could not swim this river, it was so mighty. It perfectly symbolizes the innumerable multitude of the Revelation 7-9. A great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. Note that the reason for the waters, verse 8, are healed is because they are to be brought forth into the sea. Then said he unto me, these waters issue forth towards the eastern region and go down into the Araba, and they shall go down toward the sea, into the sea, shall the waters go which were made to issue forth, and the waters shall be healed. Ezekiel 47:8. Modern Reader's Bible. As the mighty river represents the saints from the earth, then the sea necessarily represents the sinless world and inhabitants in the universe of Yahweh. The rivers are being brought into the sea obviously shows that the saints will coalesce with the eternal nation who know not sin, so the saints must be healed before being brought forth to join the sinless beings of the Yahweh's universe. The redeemed will be welcomed to the home that Yahshua is preparing for them. They will associate with those who have overcome Satan and through divine grace have formed perfect charity. Every sinful tendency, every imperfection that afflicts them here has been removed by the blood of Yahshua, and the excellence and brightness of his glory, far exceeding the brightness of the sun, is imparted unto them. And the moral beauty, the perfection of his character, shines through them in the worth far exceeding of this outward splendor. They are without fault before the great white throne, sharing the dignity and the privileges of the angels. MLT 351. My life today. Okay, for the scriptural facts thus far established make clear that the fountain and river and their progression are a symbol of the development of the last section of the Yahweh's congregation, of the Yahweh's church, it says here, which is Seventh-day Adventist. It's the last section of it. The Kingdom Church of the Living Redeemed, to be translated without tasting death. Get ready, brother, sister, get ready, get ready. Holy Writings 119:1. Time has brought us to the wings of eternity, life that shall never cease. So how many sections are there of the Adventist Church? Well, there would be three sections. Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead. Gilead was the last section, so that's what she's talking about here. That's the section I was a part of. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed in everything that liveth, whether the river cometh. Since everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live, it follows therefore that the waters which make up this mighty river represent a multitude of the saints, and due to the healing power from the throne of Yahweh, and that this healing is not temporary but permanent, eternal. Verse 6, 7, and 12. He said unto me, after the angel had measured 3 times 1,000 cubits, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return unto the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. And by the river, a river upon the bank thereof. Continued the angel, on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for me, whose leaves shall not fade. Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his month, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Then for medicine the leaves and the fruit of these trees, as with the leaves of the tree of life, are for the healing of the nations. Revelation 22:2. The obvious significance is that the house of the David, the kingdom church, is endowed with the power from the throne of Yahweh to offer life eternal with no taste of death unto those who accept the truth, the balm of Gilead, and are willing to become a part of this mighty river of the salvation, as this is the only section of Elohim's church that has been granted the gospel of the permanent healing and that life everlasting and words declares. He that is feeble among them at that day shall be as a David. The house of the David shall be as Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Zechariah 12:8. And Testimony, Volume 5, page 81. Verses 9 and 10. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whether the river cometh. It shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi, even unto an Eglion. Their fish, those who are converted unto the house of Israel, the house of David, it says church here, but this actually, unto the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, the everlasting kingdom of the David, the healing river, shall be according unto their kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. For the prophecy projects two multitudes. The multitude of the waters making up the mighty river, and the multitude of fish in the waters, since the waters originate in and proceed from the temple, they necessarily represent the combined saved from the temple church, Laodicea, and from the river of Christendom, Babylon. The fish therefore represent the multitude from the non-Christian religions. As immigration, as inspiration declares, both those who find themselves in her Babylon's dominion and those who find themselves out of it must then immediately decide to receive the seal of the Yahweh instead of the mark of the beast if they want to escape the wrath of Yahweh. To do this, the former class must come out of her. Okay, despite the death penalty for taking such a stand, Revelation 13:15, there must be no hesitancy or indecision on the part of either class. Tract number 12, The World Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow, page 37. Babylon's boundaries will extend as far as the boundaries of the nations that bow down to her authority. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahweh shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Yeshua and the Holy Mount at Jerusalem. Isaiah 27:12-13. The children of Israel are to be gathered first one by one, and in that day the great trumpet will be sounded to signalize the commencement of the end gathering of the people who are going to worship in the holy mountain, Jerusalem. In Isaiah 19, we find that there are to be five cities in Egypt that will speak the language of Canaan, that there is to be a highway between Assyria and Egypt, and Israel is to be a third with them. It is the great trumpet of the 27th chapter of Isaiah that will save them. It may be that there will be many from Assyria and Egypt that will join the 144,000 and go to worship the Yahweh and the Holy Mount at Jerusalem. Since Isaiah says they were ready to perish, it may happen just at the making up of the image of the beast. So they were ready to perish. Or just in the time of the transition, when the world emerges from the Assyrian period and enters the period when Babylon the Great rules. And that's 11 symbolic code. Verse 10, the fishes, that's 11, code 7:22. The fishes shall stand upon it, the river's banks, as the parable of Yahshua reveals the ministry is symbolized as fishes. And Yahshua said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Mark 1:17. The time when the apostles ceased to be fishers of men, when they left the gospel net and went fishing for gain, that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Yahshua stood on the shore. Then Yahshua saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said, unto them, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. John 21:3-6. So, the disciples had been fishing all night. Apparently, that was the right time to fish at that time. And all night represents 12 hours of the night. So they had been busy for 12 hours fishing. Okay, so when the first hour of the day a light broke, Yeshua asked them, have you any fish? Not any. Well, they'd been fishing all night. Okay, and for some reason they didn't catch any, but when Yeshua told them to cast on the right side of the boat, when they did, at the first hour of the daylight, they caught a lot of fish. Success, you see, never fails when the command of the Master is obeyed. Had the ministry been constantly in front of Yahshua where and how to cast the net, 2:67, there would have been a multitude of fish, converts, and never a lack of meat, means, never a lack of money. Verse 1, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east. For the position of the house reveals that it represents true worship. The already chosen people were instructed for the facing of their temples so that they worship Yahweh with their backs toward the east to remind them that they should have no respect for sun worship and idolatry. Verse 8. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea. Remarkable indeed, how perfect are these symbols in each instance. The waters issue east, this direction of the compass shows that the message of the loud cry is to start eastward when it is first revealed. As the church membership is largely east of California and across the Atlantic, the message must start in the west and proceed east, thus revealing that the message of the loud cry is to originate in California. So that means in this 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. And the loud cry would be after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of the antipical Pentecost, and that was when people would be empowered and imbued with the Spirit from on high. They'll be without sin. Okay. Lending support to this position are the prophetic words of the Yeshua's messenger and a letter unto Elder E.E. Andros. I feel confident, Elder Andrews, that the brethren in Southern California will find a blessing in reviewing the teachings of the Scripture concerning the 144,000. The waters from the fountain inside the house, the church, and bringing to bear upon these teachings, wherever light there be, there may be in the published writings of the Spirit of the prophecy, and as prayerful consideration is given in the matter and all its bearings, I believe that Yahweh will make the truth sufficiently clear to make possible the avoidance of the needless and unprofitable questions not vital unto the salvation of the precious soul. East being the biblical direction of idolatry, it signifies that the message is headed toward the conversion of sinners and the destruction of the idolatry. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yeshua the host, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land. They shall no more be remembered, and also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Zechariah 13:2. For the angel measured 4 times 1,000, 4 times 10, times 10 cubits eastward. Why 4 times 1,000? Why not more or less?
as all Bible students agree the number 10 signifies universal, and the number 4 completeness of the earth, geographical completeness, the 4 points of the compass, thus has symbolically established the fact that the message is for the progressing worldwide, starting in the west and proceeding east. It spreads from pole to pole and circling the earth completely, 10 times 10 times 10, 4 times, in perfect harmony with the words of Yeshua. And this gospel shall be preached in all the world for the 4 corners of the earth for a witness, or unto the 4 corners of the earth, unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. Verse 11. But the marred places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given unto salt. Why? Because they are lawbreakers. They weren't able to, they didn't come to the Pentecost with the saints. And so they didn't get their sins blotted out at the atonement. And so naturally they couldn't be healed. Because they didn't come under the blood of Yeshua. Very obviously the marshes and the marred places represent religions, denominations, and sects separate from the mighty river, Christendom, showing that they and whatever remains in them shall not be saved, healed. Verse 11, given unto salt, turned to salt, as was lost for us, eternally lost. Likewise also it was in the days of the Lord. Remember Lot's wife, Luke 17:28-32. Verse 10, and it shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand upon it from Engedi, even unto Eneglium. They, the 2 cities, shall be a place for the spreading forth of the nets. These 2 cities reveal that the fish are caught in 2 places. Engedi, the place of vineyards, Song of Solomon 1:4-8, and of David's stronghold in Judah, 1 Samuel 23:29, and typically the Seventh-day Adventist Church, whence the 144,000 of first fruits are gathered, and in Eglion, fountain of the 2 calves, a place in Palestine, figurative of the world of the spiritual Babylon, whence the multitude of Revelation 7:9 are gathered. Thus Ezekiel promised concerning the redemption of man. Harper's Bible Dictionary, page 162. The diagram cover page represents the SDA congregation in Gedi as it becomes the house of David. Now, the Engedi represents the Adventist Church, where the 144,000 are first congregated into and gathered. And then when the church turns into the purified third section, the fourth section. I said earlier there's 3 sections of the Adventist Church in the time and their impure state, which is true, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, Jesse, David and the branch. But David, the son of Jesse, inherits the branch and teaches the rod. As it becomes the house of David, the kingdom church. So it says, represents the SDA church in Gedi as it becomes the house of David, the kingdom church, and the place of the river in Eglion, the world. The stream from the fountain where it first starts to the east gate represents the 144,000. Those from within the house. The river, the great multitude, those from Christendom, and the fish, those from beyond Christendom. Our work has been presented to me, as in its beginning a small, very small revelant. Unto the prophet Ezekiel was given the representation of the waters issuing from under the threshold of the house eastward, at the south side of the altar, Ezekiel 47, especially Mark verse 8. Now this light on this subject first came to W. Johnson for a clarification at Gilead Center in Kermit. Vertus always wondered why he was removed off to the far reaches of West Texas. Well, there's only one place that this message could go from West Texas, and that would be east. And that to go to the Adventist Church and its headquarters, he would have to travel east from West Texas. So when this was first unfolded, the Vertus W. Johnson, because he restored the sanctuary system, and he was given this message of Ezekiel's 47 river to interpret. Leif Hollis was given the message, but Vertus Johnson was given to interpret it. He did not interpret it. I'm interpreting it because I came from that Gilead Center, and isn't that strange how whenever I received the commission to succeed Vertus W. Johnson out in the far reaches of West Texas, then I came 400 miles east with this message. So that river started in the sanctuary, flowing as a trickle, as a little rivulet, at 2002. Okay, then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. So, we've gone to the east country. From West Texas, we went 400 miles due east to Austin, Texas, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. So our work was presented to me as extending to the east and to the west, to the islands of the sea, and to all parts of the world. As the work extends, there will be great interest to be managed. The work is not to be centered in any other place. 171 and 172. Sang David, there is a river where the streams thereof shall make glad of the city of Yahweh and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. For Yahweh is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Yahweh shall help her Jerusalem now, for the heavenly Jerusalem needs no help, and that right early, Psalms 46, 4 and 5. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for we represent Zion, the house of David, and the 12th parabolic jar, the fourth section of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Four corners of the earth, and you have to have four sections. Also, or there are four sections, whether you have to have them or not, they are there. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stone, and favor the dust thereof, whereas the others do not. So the heathen shall fear the name of Yahweh, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Yahshua shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Yahshua. Psalm 102, verse 13 to 18. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtain of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the dust of the cities to be inhabited. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, going to bring them again now out of the land of Egypt. When did he bring them the first time? 3,500 years ago. Out of about 1500 B.C. or 1460 B.C. out of the land of Egypt by the Moses and Yahshua. And again, he's going to bring them out by the David and the Yahshua. Both times Moses and the branch brought them out of Egypt, and now David and the branch brings them out of the second time out of Egypt, and get them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of the Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. Zechariah 10:10. Yahshua's kingdom must be set up in the world. Acts the Apostle 16:1. It must be for the vindicating of Yahweh's original purpose for the earth through his redemptive work of the restitution of all things as spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began, Acts 3:21. For the Yahshua is coming for the establishing of his kingdom on the earth. That is the Testimony Volume 9, page 63. For the earth now to establish his kingdom on it and to save his people thereon, not to establish it on the earth made new and to save his people in the new Jerusalem, wherein his kingdom is then already established and his people then already saved. Did you get the point? Alright, for the king of the Israel was the son of Yahweh, and his throne was one day to be established in the earth, and his power to be exalted above all earthly kingdoms. Patriarchs and Prophets 4:50. If not established in the earth, but on the earth made new, where there will be no earthly kingdoms, how could it then and there be established above all earthly kingdoms? That would not only squarely contradict the foregoing testimony, it also would contradict all the prophets for whom the Daniel, Jeremiah, Micah, and Obadiah representatively speak. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without the hand, which smote the image upon his feet that were of the iron and clay and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image, which is the one person, antithetical David. It was one person in the type, antithetical David. Took one stone, the fifth stone, he picked up five, he put four in his bag, he kept one and put in his sling, and he slew Goliath and the Philistine that represents Babylon of the world back then, represents Babylon of the world today, smote the image, became a great mountain, and in the equivalence of the Scripture symbolism, the mighty river of Ezekiel 47 and fill the whole earth. So you're going to have another antitypical slaying of antitypical David is literally going to slay an antitypical Goliath, meaning this little stone represents the kingdom of Yahweh with the 144,000, and with this number representing David, with David leading it, with Yahshua the invisible king also on the throne of David leading it, it cannot fail. It will slay the antitypical Babylon, the Goliath today. And indeed, it's already in the process of dismantling Babylon with Donald Trump. And in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and their kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in peace and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain, without the hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Yahweh hath made known unto the king which shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Daniel 2:34, 35, 44, and 45. We just got through interpreting it. And it says right here that interpretation is sure. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of Yahweh, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, unto the name of the Yahshua, unto Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart, Jeremiah 3:17. And thou, O Tyre, the flock, the stronghold, the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come unto the daughter of Jerusalem, Micah 4:8. And saviors, the 144,000, shall come upon the Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. That's the whole Adventist church. And the kingdom shall be the Yahshua's. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 21. There's only one chapter in Obadiah. Unto the precipient and reflective reader, it should now be solidly certain that the Ezekiel mighty river symbolically projects the ushering in of the infant kingdom of the glory, the house of the David, and its triumphantly redemptive progression to unto eternity. Brethren, rejoice that we have also a more sure word of the prophecy whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man. The holy men of Yahweh speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:19-21. Believe in the Yahweh Elohim, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Be healed, saved. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-20. People, Yahweh has a people upon the earth who in the faith and holy hope are tracing down the road of the fast fulfilling prophecy here in Ezekiel 47:1-12, and are seeking to purify their souls by the obeying of the truth, that they may not be found without the wedding garment when Yahshua shall appear. 4T 3:07. He that hath near, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the congregation. Revelation 3:22. Now let's go to 11 symbolic code, number 7 by the Vichyata. Necessity for the sealing. It says, for the sermon which has been selected for this issue of the symbolic code is on Isaiah 27. It was given on several occasions in 1936, and the last time Brother Hotter presented was February 27, 1943. On September 21st, 1936, Vichy Hollis made the remarks concerning the possibility of trouble coming to the Seventh-day Adventist Church after the sealing of the saints and before the slaughter of Ezekiel 9. And if so, what the result would be and why. Since Revelation 11 has more recently been unfolded before us, we should be able to see that it is not just a possibility, but rather both a fact that approaching reality, that trouble is coming to the church before the slaughter of Ezekiel 9. None therefore need to be ignorant concerning what we must know now or be doing about it. Okay, it says a prayer thought. Let's if those who are headstrong and full of self-esteem go on unchecked in their course, what will be the condition of things in the church? How are the wrongs to be corrected which exist in these strong-willed, ambitious ones? By what means will Yahweh reach them? How will he set his church in order? Differences of the opinion are constantly arising, and apostasy often afflict the church. When controversies or division comes in, all parties claim to be right and to have a conscience void of the offense, and they will not be instructed by those who have long borne the burden of the work, and who they have reason to know have been guided by the Yahweh. Light has been sent to dispel their darkness, but they are too proud of heart to accept it, and they choose the darkness. They despise the counsel of Yahweh because it does not coincide with their views and plan, and favor their wrong traits of the character. For the work of the Spirit of Yahweh, which would bring them into the right position if they would accept it, has not come in a way to please them and to flatter their self-righteousness. For the light which Yahweh has given is no light unto them, and they wander in darkness. They claim that no more confidence is to be placed in the judgment of the one who has had such a long experience, and whom Yahweh has taught and used to do a special work, than in that of any other person. It is Yahweh's plan that they should do thus, or is it the special working of the enemy of all righteousness to hold souls in error, to bind them in the strong delusion that cannot be broken, because they have placed themselves beyond the reach of the means that Yahweh has ordained to deal with his church? For the reproofs, the cautions, the corrections of the Yahweh have been given unto his church in all ages of the world. These warnings were despised and rejected in Yahshua's day by the self-righteous Pharisees, and claimed that they needed no such reproofs. Okay, so they were the type for the Laodiceans, the third section of Laodicea, Gilead Center, that fulfilled this, and the antitype. They had no need of reproofs or anything, and were unjustly dealt with. They would not receive the word of the Yahshua through his servants, because it did not please their inclination. Should the Yahshua give a vision right before this class of people in our day, pointing out their mistakes, rebuking their self-righteousness, and condemning their sin, they would rise up in rebellion, like the inhabitants of Nazareth, and Yahshua showed them their true condition. If these persons do not humble their hearts before Yahweh, if they harbor the suggestions of Satan, doubt and infidelity will take possession of the soul, and they will see everything in a false light. Let the seeds of doubt once be sown in their hearts, and they will have an abundant harvest to reap. They will come to mistrust and disbelieve truths, which are plain and full of the beauty, and to others who have not educated themselves in the unbelief, those who train the mind to seize upon everything which they can use as a peg to hand a doubt, actually to hang a doubt, H-A-N-G, says hand here, upon, and suggest these thoughts unto other minds, but always find occasion to doubt. They will question and criticize everything that arises in the unfolding of the truth, criticize the work and position of others, criticize every branch of the work in which they have not themselves a part. They will feed upon the errors and mistakes and faults of others, until said the angel, Yahshua Messiah, shall rise up from his mediatorial work in the heavenly sanctuary, and shall clothe himself with the garments of vengeance, and surprise him at their unholy feast. And that feast was the Passover 2002 at Kermit. This is where this made its fulfillment. and they will find themselves unprepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Their taste has been so perverted that they would be inclined to criticize even the table of Yahshua in his kingdom that he set up succeeding the kingdom of King Saul, or the kingdom of Esau, at Kermit, Texas, in 2003. Has Yahweh ever revealed unto these self-deceived ones that no reproofs or corrections come here more to have any weight with them, unless they come through the direct vision? I dwell upon this point, because the position that many are now taking upon it is a delusion of the Satan for the ruin of the soul, when he has ensnared and weakened them through his sophistry, so that when they are reproved, they persist in making of none effect the workings of the Elohim spirit. His triumph over them will be complete. Some who profess righteousness will, like Judas, betray their Yeshua into the hands of his bitterest enemies. These self-confident ones, determined to have their own way and to advocate their own ideas, will go on from bad to worse until they will pursue any course rather than to give up their own will. They will go on blindly in the way of evil, but like the deluded Pharisee, so self-deceived that they think they are doing Yahweh's service, for the Yahshua portrayed the course which a certain class will take when they have a chance to develop their true character. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause be put to death. Testimony, Volume 5. Page 668, 691.
688.
Patriarchs and Prophets, 688, 691. Okay. It says, the lesson here is for all who profess to be ministers in the church, and also for those who claim to be disciples of the Yahshua. For the Pharisees, the ministry, would not heed Yahshua's own reproofs and truth. Neither did Judas, one of his own disciples, but instead Judas showed his true character in the end, or Brother Johnson showed his true character in the end, that he was a wicked traitor instead of a disciple, a great benefactor, or a friend. That's what Brother Johnson proved out to be exactly what Judas did. May Yahweh help us all to understand ourselves and be constantly in right relationship with Him, that we fall not into the temptation, should be our prayer. This brings the close of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. The Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Yahshua's blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Yahshua's name. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor's holds within the veil. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. Don't ye ask for the salve, rock us down. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, who may I then in him be found? Rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On the yesterday's altar, rock us down, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand.